Our reading comes from Hebrews chapter 13, 8 through 14. Once again, it's Hebrews chapter 13, 8 through 14. And it reads, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, but it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with the foods which have not been profited, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who have served the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies for those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he may sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come.
Thank you, Brother Louise. It's certainly good when we have young men who have not obeyed the gospel that long that are willing to step up and to perform in some type of leadership capacity in the worship. And I commend these men that they continue on to grow in the faith. And we're certainly thankful to God for your service. We're certainly glad that you have decided to be with us this day, those are members of the Church of Christ here at 72nd Street, especially a hearty welcome to our visitors. In your text, here in Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, a statement was made here somewhat in this last chapter. It's like a proposition. He said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, sometimes you might get in a religious discussion with someone and they're trying to hold on or justify some practice that was a part maybe of the old law. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. And though there are some things that God does not recognize any longer, which he had commanded at one time, we're still talking about the same God. The problem is not knowing how to divide the word correctly. That's the problem. But it's still the same Jesus yesterday and today and forever. You know, we live in a country that just loves change. Yeah, all of us love change. Some of us want to change our clothes right now. Some of us looked in the closet and didn't like what we saw. Maybe we don't have the means to go out and purchase some new stuff we've seen in the store, but we certainly like change. You know, it was several years ago, our commander-in-chief, our leader of this country, had a speech, had a phrase that captivated everyone's ear. Because of the economic situation that we had found ourselves in this country from the previous administration. And I'm not here to get into a political thing, but here's the gist of what I'm getting at. He said, it is time for a change. And there was a resounding yes. People were so dissatisfied with their economic situation that it had vastly deteriorated, and it's still deteriorating, my friends. Yes, our country was ripe at that time. You see, there's a saying that goes like this, and then for the personal individual, you know, you just want to know why it is. It just doesn't seem like I'm progressing. You know, there's a saying that if you keep doing the same thing again, expecting a change, that's insanity. If you're not happy with your situation at the moment, you've got to do something different. And young people, that's why we try to advise you, for those of us who are older, like me and Dennis and a couple of you others, Mike Thornton, I'm not going to leave your names out. We done been out here a while. That's why we try to, and you try to advise your sons and daughters. In this country, you almost need an education. And I'm not talking about just barely getting out of high school. I mean an education. Now, unfortunately, it might be expensive for some if you want to make it, because now the criteria has changed. And most employers want to know, well, what kind of experience do you have? Even if you graduate from college, still they're looking at, well, what kind of experience do you have? Well, I just got out of college. I don't have any yet. All I've learned is certain concepts and precepts. Now I need to be able to practice to put those into play. So yeah, we're a country that's drastically changed. You see, one time you could get by almost with just a high school diploma. Almost not no more, unfortunately. And if we want to know the truth in the matter, that's true. You see, and there are other means to circumvent that. But you see, you can't just keep doing the same thing and you expect a change. See, sometimes change is necessary depending on the circumstances and the situation. Each generation of the human race, like a succeeding wave when a tide is flowing, is an advance of the generation that had gone on before. And let me tell you, that is true. Now, y'all gonna laugh at this, because man, we're certainly caught up in these commercials. If you ain't got a 4G, you ain't up to time yet. Some of us got 3G. Well, you know what? You are 15 seconds late from the 4G. And then I told some of the brothers last week after worship, I got a 1G. And that's all I have. Just thought I'd throw that little humor in there. But we like change. You see, we are ever changing in some respects. Our outward appearances. You don't look like you did when you were 30 years young. No, sir, some of you done changed. Matter of fact, some of us changed so drastically, we don't even know who you are. You ever see some of your classmates from back when? You go to a class reunion, and they say, yeah, that's so-and-so. What? And you look at that person, and their outward appearance have been changed. All of us, you know, you ain't going to look as fine right now in about 30 years from now, Kirk. That's going to change. That's right. Might have receding hairline, I don't know. That's all right, brother. I'm still going to love you. Don't worry about that. But we all change, brother. The composites of our bodies change. Yes, they do. Our opinions change. Our characters change. We're constantly forming different characters. And so that's with all that. That may seem impressive on the surface, brethren, but yet now, with all these changes, the very nature of man has not changed. The very nature of man has not changed. You see, the great facts of man's existence, these changes do not affect. You see, all of us gonna die. Oh yeah, every man gonna die. You know, some people don't like to hear that. Oh yeah, you're going from here. The Bible says, so the appointed unto man wants to die, then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. You are gonna die. That's gonna affect every one of us. All of us have been born. All of us are gonna die. Sin affects every one of us. There's none that doeth. No, there's not one that is right. Not one. For all have sinned. That affects every one of us. Sorrow affects every one of us. All of us have been sorrow some time in our life. That's right. And the Bible goes on. Hope and fear affects every nature of man. But I want us to just think just for a moment. The Lord's church today in America is on the decline. Ooh. That's not a good statement. But it's true. The Lord's church today is on a decline, whereas so many of God's people have apostatized from the faith, whether it be by unwarranted liberties with the gospel or just gone back out into the world. All of us can think of some people that we know that once were in the faith who have now fallen away from the faith. It's a sad day when we go traveling to some location and I got to go through the phone book and call every one of the Lord's church to find out what they are practicing before I attend. If you know anything about the will of the Lord. That's right. I can't just attend any. And that shouldn't be. If it's the Lord's church, I should be able to worship there. If they're walking in truth. The sin of apostasy is real, brethren. It has always affected the Lord's people in every era. Truly, the Lord's church today is in a land of confusion. There's religious error on every hand. We're bombarded by it. That's why we must constantly draw near to God and to his word and familiarize ourselves. What is the will of the Lord? Be not unwise, but understanding what that will is. And that's something elders must very much familiarize themselves with, because they have been charged with overseeing the flock and also examining themselves. That's right. And making sure that the word of God is a proper diet preached from the pulpit to the feeding of the sheep. Awesome task. My friends, we're just like those in the days when Israel had no king. At the end of the book of Judges, you remember that? Judges 21, verse 25. And in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own sight. That's right. And this happens from time and time again. We've had men hear God's law, and they say, yeah, I hear it, but I'm going to do it this way. You see, if it's not the Lord's way, it's not the right way. It must be the Lord's way, my brother. Well, these Hebrew Christians addressed in our text, you know, they had been around for a little bit. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:32 that the writer writes to them, he says, now, in the former days, you hear that, former, that kind of alludes to the point that they had been around. The Bible says in verse 32 of chapter 10, but called to remembrance the former days. That was a time before the present of the writing of the epistle at that moment. He said, those former days in which after you were illuminated, that means you had been enlightened sometime in the past concerning the gospel. Now, don't forget what you've been taught. That's the whole inference there. You had been enlightened and said, and then he says, ye endured a great fight or a conflict of afflictions or sufferings. Now, let me tell you, if we're going to live in this life, we're going to do something. You see, because as soon as you obey the gospel and you become a member of the Lord's church, it's not a bed of roses. It's not an easy street neither. Because when you stand up for right, there's going to be some opposition. So you best get prepared, brother. And as time goes on, it's getting worse and worse. The Bible says men are going to wax worse and worse. And so it's going to cause us to have to persevere even more and more as time moves on. And so they were enlightened. They were suffering much affliction. You see, sufficient time had elapsed to the now that there were some serious signs of wavering. And that's what I was talking about, apostasy. They were wavering from their steadfastness that was once established. You see, brother, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6, verse 9. In other words, don't give up. I've seen some just give up. Those of us who have been around for some time, we've seen some just fall away. And they go back out into the world, or they were weak in the faith, and they've allowed someone to get in their ear and just cause them to be confused in their convictions toward God. And thus going back to a practice that they once was a part of, and they had found out at one time that was error, but somehow you're going back to it again. And I've had that discussion with a brother or two before in the past. So what had changed that would cause these members to possibly apostatize, and in this case, going back to Judaism, because that's what the book of Hebrews is all about, showing the supremacy of the gospel of Christ, the priesthood, over the Levitical priesthood of the old law of that under Moses. That whole book is the argument against that, and that's why every child of God had to take time and learn this book, so you can be able to teach those who are confused about the certain practices that's concerning serving God. But some of God has not recognized any longer. He's replaced certain practices. And so here, now, in the last chapter, he tells these Hebrew Christians, they if you had read the whole book, they read quite a bit. And by the time we get to chapter 13 now, he says, did you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? What is that talking about? You see, it's talking about the immutability of our Lord. Our Lord is unchangeable. This proposition sets forth that very idea that Christ does not change. Yes, the Christian perseverance is founded upon the immutability of our Redeemer. Now, what in the world does that mean? Now, maybe there's somebody don't understand. What does the word immutable mean? It means that which is not subject to or susceptible to change. Just like when you're dealing with someone, you hope that whatever character they display to you, that's who they are. Now, you know, sometimes some of us got a lot of masses. Some of us, we show one thing, and then after you marry us, we show you something else. And you know you're in trouble. Well, you didn't do that when I dated you. Now, how come you're doing it now? I didn't see that in the beginning. And I tell you, brother, here's a lesson for you who ain't married. You need to be careful how you marry someone now. Don't just get married to them just because they look fine. Give them some time. Examine them carefully. Examine their person. Me and Brother Dennis talk about this a lot because this affects a lot in the congregation as well. But I'm not going to get into all that at the moment. But people change. Yes, we do. We change. Just as I said before. You see, the church, then, we need to consider why it is so important that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that so important? Well, first, I want to stress that that's important because his person has not changed. I'm thankful for that. And he's the same always. His person has, in other words, when conveying our trust and our confidence to him, we can be assured that he is the same as he said he was yesterday, he is today. I'm glad. It's hard to put your confidence in someone that keeps changing on you because then you become skeptical. You can't put your trust in them because they tell you one thing and they do something else. So thus far, you can't rely on that person. Very undependable. But that's not true about God. That's not true. The Bible over and over reiterates how faithful and how just he is. See, he's the very second person of the Godhead. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Yes, John chapter 1, verse 14. His personality, my brother, is immutable. That was already asserted in the beginning of this book. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 just for a second. Let's look at that for a second. His personality is immutable. In chapter 1 of Hebrews, we read verse 10, the Bible says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." What are we talking about? Jesus. He's talking about Christ. He says, "They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be," watch this, "they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not." Speaking to the immutability of who he is. You see, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his great attributes of eternity, spirituality, omniscience, all-knowing, and omnipotence, all power, that never changes. That throne, oh God, is forever and ever, Hebrews 1, verse 8. That will never change. No one else is going to sit on that throne but Christ Jesus himself. That throne, the word throne, is an emblem of authority. Yes, it is. Remember before Jesus went back into heaven, he had told his disciples, his apostles, he said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth." In the American Standard, I think that says authority. He has all authority, not some authority, all authority in heaven and in earth. Yes, truly, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 15, Christ is the same in his perfect, blessed character, in his righteousness, in his faithfulness, in his love, in his mercy, in his forbearance, in his tenderness. Our Lord is ever unchangeable. And all we ought to be thankful for that. Because there's some times we need some love and mercy. It's hard to get some good love right now, isn't it? I ain't talking about from your spouse. I'm just talking about just period. I'm talking about pure love. That love that we need. Every man was created to be emotional and have affections. And we need to know that we are loved. And God wants us to know that he loves us. More than ever, we need to know that. You know, the Bible goes on to say in verse 8 of that same chapter 1, "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness." That scepter was like a wand that was in the hands of kings of old, exemplifying their power and their authority. This scepter is called a scepter of righteousness. you see, a staff. Thus, it gives us the idea of the authority that he would wield, watch this, with equitableness and just.
You know, some people don't know how to use the power when it's given to them.
And they abuse the power. But God's holy character won't allow that. He is perfect in every sense in his power. That he has his checks and balances. And so therefore, God is righteous. He's a righteous God in his dealings with men. The Bible says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thou judgments. Psalm 119, 137. You see, the Bible in the past has reiterated, as Malachi had told the people that day, he says, I am the Lord. He's speaking about the Lord, and I change not. Malachi 3:6. He says in Numbers, when Balaam went to tell Balak what the Lord had said, because Balak, the king, wanted Balaam to curse God's people. He says, God is not a man, Balak, that he should lie. Numbers 23, verse 19. And to the very Hebrews here, back in the chapter 6 earlier, the Hebrew writer had impressed upon them that by two immutable things in which it was impossible, it's impossible for God to lie. Now, how many lies have you told? I've told quite a few. Yeah, I've said it. And then anybody ain't never lied. Then you need to repent. We've all told a lie. It don't feel good now. We've done it. Especially when we've been made aware of it. That's something I teach the young kids when I used to teach them in the class. Lying ain't good. You know what lying does? It enslaves you. You know, when you lie before the civil authorities, they document every word you say. Then you go in the court of the law, and then you got someone typing down everything you say. Then they come back and cross-examine you, and they say, wait a minute, ain't what you said. They cross you up. You see, when you tell a lie, you can't remember the false pretense behind why you told that lie. That's how they catch you. When you tell the truth will set you free, and you can remember what you just said. Ah, there it is. We serve the God of truth. And when you are truthful with someone, they will learn to depend on you. The Bible says God cannot lie. Think about that, brethren. That's why your perseverance is founded in Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can trust him. You see, Craig, get Hebrews chapter 2, 16 through 18 for me, Brother Craig. Here, he's the same in his sympathy. What does that say, Brother Craig?
Well, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels.
Think about it. He didn't take on him the nature of angels.
But he took on him the seed of Abraham.
The seed of Abraham.
Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren.
Stop right there. He wanted to be made just like us. God loved you and me so much, he wanted to come down in the same form that we are, in a human. You see, we can relate to that. That's why he's the ideal man. See, we can relate to another man. I can't relate much to an angel. Why? I ain't never been an angel. I can read about, hear about it, but I can't relate to it. But I can relate to another man. That's right. Keep reading.
That he might be merciful.
Merciful.
Faithful. High priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted.
See, in that he suffered. He suffered for me and you. That he's able to do what, Brother Craig?
Secure them.
Secure. You know what that means? To capture you. To enshrine you, to bring you back secure, to bring you back from the lost condition that you were once in. Keep going.
To secure them that are tempted.
Secure them that are tempted. We're going to go through some temptations. Oh, yes. We're going to go through some temptation, brother. But God has the power to help us to overcome those temptations. Look at this. That speaks of his sympathy. But watch this. He has the same ability. Did you know that his ability didn't change? Just as God has saved some people back in the day, he can save us today. Now, God ain't asking you to go through some fire. Now, don't do that. Don't do that like the Hebrew asked. No, that's not what God is asking you. But God is able to deliver thee right now. Yes, he can. He can deliver you from yourself.
That's what God is able to do. Watch what the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, now that's gonna hold some serious credence here as we keep going in this study about who he is. He's able to make intercession for us. You see, at one time, it was almost impossible for God to for man to approach God because the sacrifices were not good enough, though God commanded them. But that was the very best that they could do under that old system known as the law of Moses. You see, his person has not changed, but it's the same always. But next, his precepts have not changed, and they are the same always. Look at verse 13 of chapter 13 in our text. The writer then goes on to say, but be not carried about with divers or strange doctrines or teachings. You know, when the purity of the gospel was preached, it wasn't long after that, that you have unstable souls that were defecting from it. Remember Paul? Paul told the church there at Ephesus that at a lot of time there will be full wolves coming in, not sparing the flock. And then even those of your own self will rise up against that which is truth. And so it is imperative that we come to recognize God's will has not changed. His precepts, his law has not changed. The nature of God's word, my friend, is perpetual. It's enduring. It's everlasting. It's unchangeable. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9. Jesus said on one occasion, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my words that pass away. Mark 13, verse 31. And Peter, speaking to the Christians of that day, says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Brethren, we need to hold on to God's precepts. Because the Bible says that even heaven and earth will pass away before his words pass away. But some of us just put too much credence in this mundane, physical, materialistic world and not enough on the word of God. That's why Jesus told the devil, man should not live by bread alone, those rolls you're going to eat this evening after you leave this worship service, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we live by. Put too much credence on the material things. Not on the spiritual. Teaching of our Lord and his personality continues and changes not. Christianity, my friends, is a religion of teaching. The word of God must be taught. The Bible says that Jesus, before he left, in that same chapter, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, he says, now go in all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, teaching them to observe. What is it I must observe? Something I must examine. You see, because after a person obeys the gospel, that's not enough. Sometimes we got to sit down and begin to teach and get them familiarized with the doctrine of Christ. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Did we find that happening? Yes, you did. After Jesus went back to heaven, Holy Spirit came down to the apostles that first Pentecost day. And as you read, they heard and said, men, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What is that? The key opening the door to the church. And then later on, you go down in Acts 2, verse 42, the Bible says, and they continue, watch this, steadfastly, not haphazardly, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or their teaching. In reality, that was the Lord's doctrine. That's what they're preaching. It wasn't their own doctrine. It's the Lord's doctrine. You see, anybody that's going to get right with God today, you need to go back to the apostles' doctrine and find out what are the precepts contained in it. That's what the church is, the grill and the pound, or the pillar and the ground of that truth, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. You see, the very precepts of Christ are designed to root and ground us in the faith. Brother Greg, read Colossians chapter, well, not, hold it, not yet. To ground us in the faith. The apostle, get that anyhow, Colossians 1:27. But the apostle Paul was telling the church at Colossae this very groundbreaking message. If ye continue in the faith grounded. See, now, you know, we wonder why people just fall away. Somebody can be just sitting in the pew for a time, and all of a sudden they just disappear. What in the world just happened? What happened? Were they listening? You know, I had a brother of old tell me, Brother Solaire, some of you know him, and there was a couple, they had been here for a while, I'm not going to mention their names, but it just, in my young, early Christian walk, it blew me away when they just, boom, disappeared. I thought they had went to another congregation, but they didn't. They had went to a denomination. I couldn't believe it. And then I had heard they had been here for about 16 to 17 years. That blew me away even more. I said, well, how in the world can you defect from the truth if you are familiar with the truth? And now I can see why in God's word these admonitions are put in here, because we must constantly be aware. You must be on guard at all times. Why? Because your soul is at stake. That's why. The Bible says if you continue in the faith, somewhere in there we're going to stop continuing. You see, I can be here presently in the pew, but the pew is empty. I'm not listening. It's not in my heart. It's just on the surface. I'm that one in the parable where the truth came and I believed just for a moment, then I fell away. That's what's happening. I became uprooted. My roots aren't that deep in the faith. I'm not that convinced that Jesus is who he is. I'm not that convinced that he could come back at the next moment. That's why I'm still out carrying on. I'm still sneaking out to the club. I'm still going out messing with that other man's wife. I'm not converted yet. Hasn't affected me. Continue in the faith, my brother, and be grounded and settled, and be not moved away from what? The hope, Colossians 1:27.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery.
Riches of the glory, hold it, of this mystery. You know, the mystery is something that's hidden. But that scripture said he done made it known. Keep going.
Among the Gentiles.
Why? Because at one time they didn't have the oracles of God. Keep going.
Which is Christ in you.
The hope of glory. The hope. There's your hope. When Christ is in you, you have the hope of glory. That's the whole point here. Be not moved away from the hope. That's why you must be grounded and rooted. What? In your conviction, brethren. You got a lot of time for yourself to be established. And that comes through practice. That comes through application. That comes through putting yourself into the work. Stop sitting around waiting on somebody to feed you some more baby food, brother. Well, for some time you should be growing. That's what these Hebrew Christians were told in Hebrews chapter 5. Well, often there's a time that you should be growing. That you have need of what? Milk. They had not grown. They should be teachers. Remember, I told you earlier, this church had been around for some time. Well, I can't teach you. Why? You've been in the church for 15 years. Well, why can't you teach a little bit? Well, what is it? Has cosmetology took up your time? Has essence took your time? Has TV that took up all your time? I'm not saying anything wrong with those, but it is when it takes up all our time. We're supposed to be redeeming the time, brother. Buying back that time that's lost to ungodliness and worldliness, brother. That's why we need to be grounded and rooted in the precepts of God that are not changing. It's the same thing, brother. I know some of us get tired of hearing that, but God's word ain't gonna change. If you go back and read your Bible, see, it's gonna say the same thing it said 15 years ago when you read it. Did you know when you go back and read John 3:16, it's gonna say the same thing? Yes, it is. That's why it's perpetual. Look, man, these preachers, look at this. Let's go back to chapter 7 here of Hebrews chapter 13. There were preachers who had faithfully preached the saving grace of God to these Christians. He says, remember them which have the rule over you. That's their spiritual leaders, their spiritual guys. Most likely talking about maybe Peter or Stephen or James. Doesn't mention who, but they were faithful brethren
who have preached God's word. Watch this. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Watch this. The writer is telling you and asking you, follow them. Sound familiar? Remember Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ? He says, who's considering the end of their conversation, means their issue of life. They were perfect examples before these Hebrew Christians, whoever those leaders and those guides were. You see, they had received strong teaching. This church here has been blessed because it has received strong teaching in the past. And I'm just thankful that I've been a part of this congregation. Faithful men have stood up in this pulpit as well as teach in the class the pure oracles of God. They have preached the simplicity of Christ. And that's what we need to hear. The pure gospel, the simplicity that's in Christ, so that we could grow thereby and know exactly what the truth is. Unfortunately, Brother Dismute comes back and he hears members from where he goes and visit, and we haven't heard anything like that. Well, what in the world is going on? What's happening in some of the Lord's church? Too much philosophy, too much imaginations, too much men's theories. That's what's going on, and not enough of the word of God. And that's why these congregations are weak like they are, because the truth is not being expounded like it should be. Afraid to step on a few toes. I ain't trying to step on your toe. The preacher ought to be aiming for the heart. That's right. We need heart preachers in the pulpit.